Amen. Thank you so much, Rita. I appreciate it. Reading this morning our passage in the context of this mini-series that we're on. If you've been here the last couple weeks, we've for quite some time now been going through the book of Colossians, but today and the past two Sundays, we've been in the kind of a mini-series within Colossians. All of chapter 3 nearly is talking about the holiness that comes in salvation. Chapter 3 starts, and this was 2 weeks ago, chapter 3 starts with, if then you've been raised with Christ, which is talking about salvation, then seek the things that are above. Set your minds on things that are of Christ. And so 2 weeks ago, we looked at how holiness always follows salvation. If you've been raised with Christ, then seek the things that are above. Holiness always follows salvation. I might be on two things here. There we go. Are we on this? Can we be on this? Is that okay? There we go. Okay. That's better. I like that more. So I can move a little bit. I feel less tied. So holiness follows salvation, but then also holiness always starts internally. He says, seek the things that are above and set your mind on things that are above. Holiness starts inside. That was 2 weeks ago. And then last week, we looked at the first practical reality of what it happens when we set our minds on things that are above. And that was verses 5 through 11. He says, put to death, therefore. If you've been raised with Christ, then seek the things that are above. And if you're seeking the things that are above and you're setting your mind on things that are above, then you'll be killing sin. It'll show in an external way what's happening on the inside of you. Not just suppressing or ignoring sin. No, we talked about how that's not enough. That's not aggressive enough, but instead we're called to destroy sin, kill it, put it to death. So last week we talked about how a commitment to Jesus is what? A commitment against sin. That's what we talked about last week. And these sins can be a number of different things. We looked at two categories last week. Perversions of love. This is a sin that we should put to death. Perverting what is good and right. And then also putting to death hate. The opposite of perverting love is just embracing hate. And we're called to put to death those things in our life. Now today, verses 12 through 17 is the second practical reality of holiness. When you are seeking the things that are above, not only should we put to death, therefore, what is earthly in us, but verse 12 says that we should put on then what is holy and right. And so I'm going to change up a little bit of what the main point was last week. Last week, the main point was, and we can put this week's up, a commitment to Jesus is a commitment against sin was last week, but also a commitment to God is also a commitment to positive change, embracing good things. These both are really important for us to embrace. The problem is, right, so let's think about how this can rub us the wrong way sometimes. Some changes when we're trying to live out this new life that God has called us to might not be so new to many of us, but nevertheless, it can kind of feel like sandpaper just rubbing against our skin, trying to bring on attributes that don't really feel natural to our natural self. Right? Naturally prone to lie, and so this call to honesty can just be really hard in certain circumstances, right? It can be difficult, but in our commitment to God, we're also committing to positive change, and liars turn to honest people, selfish people. That's our natural just bend towards being selfish, but now we're called to humility and dying to self for the sake of others. So these can be very difficult for us at times to adopt what doesn't feel natural to us. But we're called to, in our role of now being a Christ follower, live that out and go and live a certain way. I realized after I was married, it wasn't that much into the marriage that I realized with being a husband comes certain duties. And one of them is running to CVS sometimes and getting feminine products that you never had to go to and get before, right? But it's just the reality that now that's a part of the household, and I just didn't know anything about that realm I never walked past that aisle in CVS. I just never had to, right? And so, but being a husband now, it was so embarrassing. I mean, just the first few times where I'm on the phone. Okay, you said you need what now? And is it a blue box or does it have an orange swirl? Or I'm asking for like this description of what she's looking for, and it's just it was so awkward. I made too many phone calls. But being a husband, I'm trying to go somewhere with this, I promise. Being a husband means picking up new callings, and sometimes that is just simply driving to CVS. Being a Christian means also the call to embrace uncomfortable new characteristics that feel awkward and difficult, uncomfortable to embrace. That's where I was going with that. But we are so called to do that. A commitment to God is also a commitment to positive change, as uncomfortable as it might feel. So we're to put on certain things. Let's go to the text. He says, put on then, if you've been raised with Christ, therefore, verse 12, put on then. And I love what he says here. He ties what we're called to do, this embracing of holiness, to our identity. He says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And I just want to acknowledge that our calling to holy living is tied to our identity in Christ. He says, as you are holy, as holy ones of God, therefore go put on holiness. That's what the rest of the text is all about. As holy people, live holy lives. Ever since your salvation, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, ever since that point, you are positionally holy, spotless before God, regardless of your actions. In Christ, you are spotless, positionally standing before God. You are pure. And so he says, as holy ones, may your actions come in line with the way God sees you. He sees you as holy, therefore live practically in that identity. Live a holy life. God sees you as holy. But he says also, as God's chosen ones. So Christian, hear this. If you are in Christ today, not only are you positionally so pure and holy before God, but you are chosen. And would you find joy and comfort? And right now, if you are in Christ, that means you are chosen. He has chosen you. That's an amazing thing, and I really think it gives such perspective on the love of God for you personally, as an individual. But when he chose you, he also predestined you to live a holy life. When he chose you in him, he also chose you and predestined you to be a person that lives a holy lifestyle. He chose you for that, to do that. Particularly a life that looks like Christ. I like what Romans 8 says. It's really describing this whole reality. Romans 8, 29. For those whom God, or he, foreknew, he also predestined, which means he decided beforehand, to be what? Conformed to the image of the Son. That is what he decided. Ephesians 1 says, before the foundations of the earth. He decided. When he chose you, he said, I also am calling you, therefore, predestined you to be a person that conforms your actions to the way Jesus lived. And so when we go back to the text, Colossians 3, and we start looking at the things that he calls us to put on, I want us to realize that there's eight of them, and we're going to go through all eight of them very quickly. But in all eight of them, Jesus Christ demonstrates them perfectly. And we're called to put them on each individually, but we are to know the perfect example of each one of them is Christ. He's the perfect example of all of these. And we'll look at that in the text, because we are called to conform to the image of the Son as we're called to put on holy living. So what's he call us to? Let's walk through them. There's eight of them. Eight attributes of Jesus that we are to work at showing in our own lives every single day. Christian, this is for you. You are called to this life. Firstly, we're called to compassionate hearts, to be compassionate people that sympathizes with and is kind to people. Well, I can't get to kindness. That's another one. Compassion. Matthew 9, 36 says, when Jesus saw the crowd standing before him, he was moved with what? Compassion for them. Jesus has a compassionate heart. Now we are therefore to emulate and to follow suit to that exact characteristic of Christ. We are called to conform to his image as a compassionate Lord. We're called to kindness. Titus 3:4 says, when the goodness and kindness of our Savior Jesus Christ appears. We're called to be kind people. And I want you to think about this as we're going through each one of these very quickly. It's really important for us to think about it and think, am I that? Do I exemplify that? Do people see that in me? Would people describe me as these things? Am I compassionate? Am I kind? Am I humble? He calls us to humility. That's the third one. Philippians 2:5-7 says, Christ emptied himself. He humbled himself by taking on the nature of a servant and becoming man. Christ, which is so incredible to think about, the Lord over all, also embraces humility. Isn't that amazing? The sovereign God humbled himself when he became man. Isn't that amazing? We're called to be humble people. We're called to meekness. That's another word for gentleness. Do you hear that, man? Men, this is the hard one. You're called to be gentle. To be gentle. Not just rough around the edges. Manly, as we would think. That is what manliness is. No, we're called to also be gentle. And in doing so, being like the greatest man that ever lived, Christ Jesus. If you think you're too manly to be gentle, you aren't a man. Because Christ was gentle, and he was the greatest man, far greater man than any of us could ever be. You're called to be gentle. Matthew 11:29 says, this is Christ speaking, take my yoke upon you. This is a common phrase, a common verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am what? Gentle. It's the same exact Greek word as this one right here, meekness. Same word. And he says, take my yoke upon you because I am meek. I am gentle. Matthew 5, right? The Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek. You're never too manly to be gentle. You're called to gentleness. Fifthly, we're called to be patient people. Whew, that's another hard one. 1 Timothy 1:16 says, Jesus displayed his perfect patience. Perfect patience. Not just adequate patience, but Christ Jesus demonstrated his perfect patience. And as an example to others in doing so, we are called to be patient people. Would people describe you as a patient individual? And that's actually shown practically in a couple different ways here. Firstly, by bearing with one another. That's how you can be patient with one another. You say, okay, well, I'm called to be a patient person. How? Well, firstly, to bear with one another. To bear through the little things that get under your skin about the people around you. The people out there. Can you bear with them? Well, that shows how patient you are. And secondly, not only bearing with one another, but also if one has a complaint against another, forgiving them. As the Lord has forgiven you. How good are you at forgiving? Bringing people back into relationship with you that have maybe wronged you. I think this act of forgiveness shows your extent of patience, and we're called to patience. So think about it. As we look at this text, we are called to be patient people, and we can look at our extent of patience in our life by how well we bear with one another, and whenever they cross a bounds, forgiving that person, being patient with them. We're called next to love, to put on love. He says, you might already be looking at it before I am. Yes, verse 14, and above all these, put on love. That's the sixth thing that we should put on. Another common phrase or common verse, Romans 8:35. Who could separate us from the love of Christ? And that verse is talking about that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. The love of Christ is more powerful than anything, even ourselves. We can't separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ because Christ's love is infinite and incredible. And we are called to emulate Christ's character and put on love ourselves. And this is described, the effects of love at least are described in the rest of verse 14. Put on then love, above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. If you're thinking about how well you love one another, love others today, and you're thinking, okay, well, would people describe me somebody that loves other people? Well, how well are you bound to other people? How well do you harmonize with other people in your life? Are you the person that can be very difficult to live through life with one another? You're called to live in harmony with other people, to be bound together with them, and you are called to love. And that shows practically in how well we bind with other people and harmonize with them. The seventh thing is peace. And I don't really have to share a verse for this one. It's right in the text. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. We are to be peaceful people. Lastly, the eighth characteristic that we are to put on that Christ so perfectly demonstrates is thankfulness, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. We are called to be thankful people. John 11:41 says, Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you. And whatever Christ does, he does perfectly. We are to take on these eight characteristics, and I want you to think now how difficult these can be for each one of us. I think each one of us might struggle with one of them a little bit more than others, and maybe you can see in this list here which ones maybe are most difficult for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, love, peace, and thankfulness. Which ones do you struggle with more than the others? And maybe there's a few of them, but I think for all of us, we can have times of really struggling with each one of them. Compassion, I think, that sympathy for other people, can be really hard for the moral and mature Christian to have compassion for people. And so maybe if you are a moral or a mature Christian, maybe this is the one that you're like, yeah, this is really hard for me whenever I see people living in their sin to have compassion on them. Compassion can be hard for the moral and mature Christian, the traditional Christian. Kindness, maybe that one stands out for you. Kindness can be really hard, right? Especially, I think, for people that are under a lot of stress, quickly irritable. Are you under a lot of stress lately? Are you maybe on edge, a little irritable? And I think that's been me this week. And just talking with Sarah, I think I have found that the stress that I have on myself has really impacted my ability to be kind. And so maybe that's you, but we are called to embrace kindness nonetheless. Maybe humility stands out for you. I think humility can be hard for all of us. But in particular, a couple different groups of people stood out in my mind when I was thinking about who would I be speaking to here whenever I'm thinking about humility. And I thought about leaders, people that are leaders maybe in their companies and organizations, managers, different leaders of organizations, whatever it might be, can be very hard to admit wrong and fault, but you are called to humility. Maybe not only leaders, but then also parents, right? I mean, parents. How hard is it to admit when we break our own rules for the house? To get down on your knees and say, and bring your kid in and say, Mommy messed up. I didn't follow the rules, and I'm sorry. To apologize to your child, to show humility and exemplify it to them, to admit fault when we failed. I mean, we can easily say go to your room whenever they fail, but then whenever we also fail, showing them humility, admitting fault can be so hard. Parents are called to show humility to your children. Gentleness, I talked about that before, I think can be very hard for men who feel like they must be tough to be a man. You're called to be gentle, men. Patience can be really hard. People who are very fast-paced, I find myself kind of in that lane, always driving in the fast lane of life, and it can be very hard to slow down and be patient with people, or people who are very task-oriented. Do you find yourself to be very task-oriented, and you care about efficiency, and if efficiency isn't happening, then you're very impatient. You're called to be impatient. Love can be hard for people who I think have been wronged or hurt from others. Have you been wronged, insulted, justifiably separating yourself from somebody else? And I was talking to Jeff before service how it can be oftentimes we tend to adopt that phrase, I can like them, but I don't have to love them, right? I'll endure them. And Jeff and I were talking, where is that in Scripture? You don't have to love them? What are you talking about? You don't have to love them. We are called to love them. Not just called to like them and endure them. You're called to love them. It can be hard, especially for people who have been wronged and hurt. We're called to peace. And that's just calmness of spirit, a peace of mind, a relaxation of trusting in Christ throughout your life. And I think that can be really hard for us perfectionists. I identify with so many of these being very difficult in my life. If you're a perfectionist, you are called to have peace about tomorrow and about what's going on around you. And I think, I called out men before, I think women can find themselves in this category a lot because they like to have the security about knowing what's around the corner in life, right? Women, maybe not. Maybe he's like, how dare you? We're called to have peace and a calmness of mind about tomorrow, about everything as Christ rules in our life. Lastly, we're called to be thankful, and I think thankfulness can be really hard for people who are grieving, right? If you're grieving the loss of a loved one, especially, it can be very hard to wake up in the morning and want to be a thankful person. Christ calls each of us to embrace all of these, to be like the perfect person of Jesus himself. And so I think what I really love about Paul in this text is whenever he gives us these eight things and he says, put on then these holy attributes. We're like, okay, so I got to be, and we start counting them off, and I'm like, okay, I can't forget number four, and there's number five, and we just start to forget, and then there's really no practical implications in our life as we walk out of those doors. Paul, I think, plans according to that, and he goes on in the next few verses telling us two ways in which we can live out these eight callings in our life, to be compassionate people, to be kind, to be humble, to be gentle, to be patient, to be loving, to be peaceful, to be thankful. He says, this is how you can do it. This is how you can do it. And so two instructions given in order to live out our calling for those eight attributes in our life. Firstly, if we are going to grow in these attributes, firstly, we are to let the word of Christ dwell richly among us. It says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. To be like Christ, we must soak up his book and just value this book and just live in this book right here. His book about himself. How else could we learn about living like Christ than reading Christ's book about himself? There are many ways, though, that we can conjure up how to be better people, right? Podcast. Any podcast listeners in here? Is it just me? Oh, it breaks my heart. Okay, a couple of them. All right. A few people admitting. I see. It's shameful about it. I get it. Well, we can listen to a lot of podcasts. We can listen to TED Talks. I don't know if that's a thing in the past or not, but self-help books, just meditation, and maybe even the occasional pep talk in the mirror from yourself, right? And there's nothing wrong with any of these. I love audiobooks. I'm like, I find myself not being able to read quite as much, and so I'm just devouring audiobooks and podcasts, and I just love to soak up information all the time. And so I'm guilty of all of these, I think, books and podcasts and maybe even the occasional pep talk in the mirror. But these aren't bad, but only doing these things, only reading books and only listening to podcasts and only looking in the mirror and talking yourself up, if you're only doing that, you'd be missing the obviously effective method of holiness. And that is cracking this book open and soaking up what it has to say about Jesus Christ. And it's so easy to say, yep, that's right. Amen, preacher. You should just open this Bible. But then we find ourselves going right back to the podcast because that's easier to do when we're driving down the road and we never open this book. And then we wonder why we aren't showing the attributes of Jesus Christ in our life. You'd be missing the more obviously effective method. I was thinking about when I was trying to put together this baby swing. I've been putting together different things for Judah coming, and I get so frustrated doing some of those things because I just admit it. I set the instructions aside because who needs those? And I start putting them together. Sarah's taking a nap the other day, and she comes in, and she's like, hey, how's it going? And I'm like sweating. I should not be sweating when I'm putting together a baby swing, because all it is putting different parts together, and like that little thing clicks in place, right? And we're like, okay, well, that part went with that part. Well, I was trying to figure it out, instructions wadded up in the corner, right? And Sarah's like watching me, and I'm just so frustrated. I'm trying to pull these two pieces apart, and I can't do it. And she goes, well, why don't you just look at the instructions? Like, no! And, well, I realized that I put the whole thing backwards, and it was hard because I put pieces together that should have not been put together, and the obvious, more effective way was sitting right in front of me. And I think that's true with us Christians, where we want to be holy people. We want to live a better life. We want to see different things in our lives looking better than they currently do, and yet we are so frustrated when this just is sitting right there, showing us in clear picture the person that we're called to look like. God transforms us primarily through his word. If you want to grow in holiness, seek no further than the display of God in his scripture. And he even gives a couple ways in which we can let the word of Christ dwell in us richly so that we can live out these eight attributes. Firstly, one of the ways is where we would teach and admonish one another with it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. This is how we can let the word of Christ fall over us throughout the week, is teaching it, opening it up and just speaking it. This is why preaching is at the most prominent part in the service. That's intentional. That's why this part is so critical. And it will never be pushed to be secondary in a service. This is the most prominent, pinnacle part of the worship experience, the Word of God opened and the people of God receiving it. Because we want the Word of Christ to dwell among us richly. And this is also lived out, I think, in just having community, pointing each other to the book, saying, hey, I want to show you what I found in here. Maybe it applies to you. We are to let the Word of Christ dwell richly among us, and that is firstly done by just teaching it. But then also, secondly, by singing scripture and scriptural truths. This is also how we can let the word of Christ dwell within us, by singing it out, that it's locked in our brains as we go throughout the week. We're singing the melodies that are deeply rooted in scripture. And we all have preferences, specific songs we like, right? I mean, I know I've got the hymns camp and the contemporary music camp. I know every church has that, and we like this song, and I don't like that song. I like the slow songs. Well, I like the fast songs. I like the songs with the guitar. I like it only with the piano, right? And we have all these preferences, but keep the main thing, is it rooted in, embedded in, and just singing out the word of Christ, that it would dwell richly among us in our minds throughout the week. And if that is the core of the song that we're singing, I'm sorry, but let your preferences sit to the side on if it's fast or slow. I'm sorry, but that is never a good excuse to walk out of a service saying, I just don't like that place. They didn't sing it in the key that I liked. Well, I'm sorry, but man, it's got to be rooted in Scripture. And we are committed to solid theological songs that we're singing, and that should satisfy every Christian. This is how we let the word of Christ dwell richly in us. The second way that we can ensure that we grow in the holy attributes, the eight of them that Paul just recently mentioned, not only should we let the word of Christ dwell richly among us, that we would see those shown in our life, but also we should plan to do everything in our lives in the name of Jesus. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. If you want to grow in holiness, brother and sister, let me tell you, firstly, you open up that book and you receive teachings from it and you sing it. You open up that book and you receive the word of God. But secondly, guide every action that you make according to doing it in the name of Jesus. It's easy to forget those eight, right? You probably couldn't name all eight of them right now. I couldn't name all eight of them right now off the memory. But you know what I can remember? In every circumstance, in every situation, am I doing this as worship to Jesus? And if you're doing that and you're guiding every action according to that one principle, just remember one principle for every circumstance, doing it in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to him for the salvation that he gave you and who he is. When you're doing it in thankfulness to him, I can assure you humility will come. Being a compassionate person will come. Being a kind person will come. Being a loving person will come. Because we're doing every action in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lena and Hannah Greider asked me this week what my favorite verse is, and I felt so guilty. I couldn't think. I was like, I don't know. I just like the Bible. I feel really bad. I can't think of a single verse. It would probably be this one, because it just sums up our calling to do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. And Sarah even gave me a nice leather bookmark with this embossed on it. I don't know why I said that. Just keep going. Whatever action I make, would it be as worship to you, Jesus? That should be on all of our minds. And I think that will lead us to these eight holy, holy callings throughout our week. Let me summarize this mini-series of progression and holiness, and we'll sing together in conclusion. Holiness always happens in the life of a truly saved person. If you really have been raised with Christ, you should be seeing holiness. If you see no fruits of holiness in your life, I think you should be very concerned about your salvation if you truly have been raised with Christ. Because the Word of God says, if you have been raised with Christ and seek the things that are above, if you're not seeking the things above, I would question if you've been raised with Christ. Holiness always follows salvation, and holiness always starts with the internal passion of a person of setting their minds on Christ, and it always grows out into practical things, killing sin and embracing holiness. When we're killing sin, we're killing the perversions of love and the embracing of hate. We're taking those out of our pockets and dropping them, right? Like the rocks whenever I was on my swimming trip. We're dropping those things. We're putting those things to death. But also we are called to certain actions that might feel uncomfortable. But we're called to them nonetheless. So the summary for today, a commitment to God is a commitment to positive change. We should strive to look like the person of Jesus Christ, the perfect man who lives out all eight attributes so well. Two ways that we can do that, two ways that we can live out those eight attributes today. Firstly, we will let the Word of Christ dwell richly among us. Man, get in the Word. Get in the Word. And then make sure that everything you do is based on the principle of doing it to worship to God. And in doing that, you will put on these holy attributes. Amen? Amen. Let's worship. Let's pray first. God, I thank you so much for today. I just pray that you would dwell among us, that you would speak to us. And God, that in doing so, you would transform us to be more like you, to look like your Son, that the world would see us and through us see him, that they would see our good deeds and glorify our Lord and Savior in heaven. Lord, we just pray for that today. Help us to look like you, and in doing so, worship you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you need